Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
God's first charge against Israel in the book of Malachi is that they failed to recognize and return His love. I have loved you, says the Lord. And their reply is, in what way have you loved us? We don't see it. And so God gave evidence for His love for them. And then we come to the second charge, and the same pattern is followed. The second charge is that they brought unacceptable worship to God. And they deny that too, just like they did in the first one. We don't see any evidence of unacceptable worship, and so then God brings the evidence of their unacceptable worship. And that's the way the pattern goes throughout the book of Malachi. A charge by God against His people about their faithlessness, their lack of obedience to His commandments, their lack of true heart devotion to Him, their rejection of the charge, they're questioning it and refusing to acknowledge that what God says is true, and then some evidence to demonstrate that what God says is exactly true. And so we're going to be looking at these one by one throughout the book of Malachi. We are now in chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9 as we're looking at the second charge, which is the sin of worshiping God in outward devotion without inward heart devotion. And that, of course, is a danger for us today, even as it was to the people of God in Malachi's day. And so thank you for joining me on this Monday, September 16, and I'm very grateful for those whose financial gifts make this possible. Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now, entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? The charge is that they're failing to honor God. They are failing to honor God as their father, even though everyone recognizes that fathers ought to receive the honor of their children. They're failing to honor God as their master, even though, again, everyone recognizes that a servant or an employee ought to render honor to their boss, the one that gives them a job and pays their salary. But they deny it. And in this case, the charge is even more shocking because it's not just the people of God, but it's the priests themselves who are failing to honor God and despising His name. They who have been entrusted with the responsibility to teach God's word and to lead God's people into God-honoring worship, and they are just as guilty as the people. And so everyone is denying the charges, both priests and people alike. Everyone is saying, show us the evidence, we don't see it. But the evidence is very clear. I just read it to you in verses 7 through 9. The evidence is seen in their actions and in their words. In their actions, they have defiled, or have brought, I should say, defiled sacrifices, defiled animals to sacrifice. Animals that do not qualify, who are defective, blind, lame, sick. Animals that were clearly specified as excluded from acceptable sacrificial animals in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, but they are completely ignoring those instructions and are bringing their defective animals. In other words, they're trying to worship God on the cheap. They are bringing animals that are of less value to them, in fact, in some cases, of no value to them whatsoever, but they are animals. But they are animals of very little value, and so they keep the best animals for themselves because they're valuable. They take the defective ones to the temple to be offered on the altar to God, and then they think that God should be pleased with them. No. God deserves our best, not our worst. God deserves worship that costs us something, not worship that is done cheaply. So their actions provide evidence for God's charge. It is an accurate charge against them, and their very words are also evidence. In what way have we despised your name? They ask in verse 6. Verse 7 is the answer, you offer defiled food on my altar. That's the first thing. But say, in what way have we defiled you? And here's the answer, by saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. So, by their actions in offering defiled food on my altar, that is, sacrifices on the altar of sacrifice at the temple, and by their words, by saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And there we have an interesting phrase for the altar of sacrifice, the table of the Lord. That's the only time that this phrase is used in the Old Testament, and it's only used in the book of Malachi. The table of the Lord, which obviously refers to the place of sacrifice, the altar in the temple, the place where the animals are sacrificed upon the altar, but it's called here the table of the Lord, which would indicate the place where God fellowships with his people, the place where God meets with his people and has familiar communication, where he draws near to his people. We call the communion table the Lord's table, don't we? Or the table of the Lord. That's virtually the same thing. That's a precious place to meet around these symbols that remind us of the sacrifice which Christ made on our behalf, but it's also a precious place to meet with the Lord, who promised to meet with his people and to gather with us when we gather around the Lord's table, and we look forward to that time when we shall actually do this in his presence. We'll gather around a table of fellowship with the Lord in heaven when we're with him someday. It's a very precious name, a very precious description, descriptive name of the altar of sacrifice. We might not think they had such familiarity with God in the Old Testament, but here they do, the table of the Lord. But they were saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. Whoa. That's not only a dishonoring word, that is a strong word. Contemptible? This is what they were saying. We don't know if they were saying it openly or saying it behind closed doors among themselves, in the privacy of their homes, or where they were saying it. But they were saying it is contemptible. It is worthless. It is a miserable place. The table of the Lord is contemptible, and it is the priests who are saying it. They were saying, in effect, this job of offering sacrifices on the altar to bridge the gap between God and man, to offer what God has required so that men might be brought near to God, the job of doing that, we who serve the altar, that is, we who serve the table of the Lord, as it is described here, we are carrying out a contemptible job, a thankless job, a worthless job, a miserable job, which reflects the true attitudes of their heart. While they were carrying out their responsibilities, their duties as priests, their heart was saying, this is a miserable job. They were given a privilege, a responsibility, a duty to be sure, but a privilege that was not given to most people in Israel. Only a very select few of the Israelites had the privilege of offering these sacrifices on the altar that indicated heartfelt worship to God and indicated that there is a sacrifice provided by God whereby sinners' sins can be cleansed and whereby believing sinners can be reconciled to a holy God. They had the privilege of carrying out the very sacrifices that accomplished this and pointed to the gospel of Christ, and they called it a contemptible table, a thankless, worthless, miserable job. And so the evidence for their disrespect, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, where's my honor? If I'm the master, where's my reverence? The evidence of their disrespect for God is seen in their actions and the defective animals which they sacrifice, in their words as they say to somebody, to one another, to their family, to other priests. We don't know to whom they're saying it, but to somebody they're saying these words, the table of the Lord is contemptible. It is seen by their attitudes. These words reflect, of course, the thoughts and attitudes of their heart, and so that indicates their lack of reverence and honor to God. And by their misplaced priorities, because the text goes on to say, would you offer animals like this to your governor? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And of course the answer is no. If they were going to bring a gift to their governor, they would bring the best. They would bring something that he would recognize as valuable, not something that is defective, clearly, obviously, openly, visibly defective. Of course they wouldn't bring anything like that to the governor. Be better to bring nothing than to bring something like that. But here they'll bring it to God, but they wouldn't bring it to a human governor. What misplaced priorities. The evidence of their defective worship is clear. It's all around. It's shrieking to be heard and to be recognized and acknowledged and repented of. But their hearts are hard and their eyes are blind and they do not see it. Oh, let that not be you and me. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.